Hey Govs fans, this is Dr. Kevin Kennedy Jr. If you're like me, you love cheering on Clarksville's hometown team because the Govs mean something special to our Clarksville community. From little Govs to lifelong Govs, our dental teams are here to serve your family for every need with specialists in kids dentistry at Spring Creek Pediatric Dentistry to our experienced general dentist at Clarksville Dental Center. If you love our community and are looking to support businesses that do as well, we'd be honored to serve you. And hey, if you haven't heard yet, Spring Creek Pediatric Dentistry is the official sponsor of the Junior Govs Club, the premier club for kids to grow into lifelong Govs fans. Let's go, P.
What's going on, everybody? Welcome in to another episode of the Gov Talk Podcast. One of the final football episodes of the year, unfortunately. Can't believe it went by this fast. Had our final home game of the season this past weekend, and the Govs won against Samford 30-16. And for the first time since 1949, the Govs went undefeated at home. Pretty incredible. You would have thought that some of the Healy or Walden teams would have done that, but yeah, first time since 1949. That's an incredible accomplishment. You definitely got your money's worth if you went out to the fort this year. Sad to see that it's already over, but hopefully we can go to the playoffs or something. You know, that's hopefully the season's not quite over yet, which we'll talk about that in a little bit. But Chris, how you doing today, man?
Doing good. Good weekend.
Great weekend. Let's talk about it. I mean, everything that could go right for us basically went right. You had the football team, like we talked about, setting records. You had the men's basketball team with a nice road win. And you had the ladies basketball team with a home win today. And the volleyball team took down West Georgia to end the season on a high note. So pretty much good stuff all around. Obviously, we're going to start off with football. So final score was 30-16. Over Samford. Not quite the blowout that we predicted, but, you know, a win is a win. Samford, you know, coming in, we talked about how bad they were. They're not a very good team. They were 1-9 coming into the game. And we thought this would be kind of a blowout. I think we both predicted like 40-something to 10 or, you know, something like that. But, you know, going over the stats real quick, Chris Parson was 16 of 30 for 265 yards, one touchdown, one interception. He was also the leading rusher, once again, 53 yards. Shamar Kirk had 5 catches for 44 yards. Jaden Robinson had 4 for 67. And Nate Garnett Jr. had 2 for 80 and a touch. And then going to the defense, Antori Hamilton led the way with 6 tackles. He had an amazing game, by the way. Nose tackle, too. 6 tackles, 1 sack, 1.5 tackles for loss, a forced fumble. Dude was a beast. That Samford line, offensive line, had no chance. Ellis had 5 tackles. Will Middleton had 5 tackles, a sack, a tackle for loss, and a pass breakup. And Montrez Smith had 5 tackles, 1/2 a sack, 2 tackles for loss, and a pick six. Again, that's his second pick six. Jerry Rice Award is coming to Clarksville, I think. So, yeah. Let's see. What'd you think overall?
Well, I was going to give a little shout out to TJ Cox there. Had the sack and a forced fumble.
Yeah.
Good day for him. But, yeah. Hamilton and Montrez, man, what a game they had.
You don't see a nose tackle putting up numbers like that too often. He just completely dominated their front.
Yeah. No, great game by those two. And then, you know, going back offensively, you know, it's kind of hard not to give a shout out to Carson Smith. You know, the only one he missed, which was a 44-yarder, I think – went for 43 yards. I mean, I think he just needed another yard, and he'd have had it. But he was good from 50 and then 42 twice. So, good day for Carson. And it was a windy day too, so that's what made it more impressive.
Yeah, I'm gonna miss him, that's for sure.
So, but like you said, I mean, wasn't the wasn't the prettiest of wins, but I think I think overall, I mean, Crit CP had a good day, tied the record, I think, for touchdowns
Yes.
in the season. So, always good to see. Caden Williams wearing number zero got a touchdown, found the end zone. So I thought that was kind of cool. So yeah, good day.
So I know you were a little, I don't know if disappointed is the right word, but you were a little surprised, I think, that it was not, it wasn't a bigger deficit, like a margin of victory. Is that fair?
Yeah, pretty fair. I mean, I think we both kind of expected that to happen. Gotta give Sanford a little credit. I mean, they were obviously fighting and playing hard, even there down there towards the end. So, and I believe their coach even mentioned that in their post game that I saw on Twitter. So, giving them a little credit. But yeah, I'd have liked to seen the score be a little bit better than what it was, or a little bit more than what it was. Maybe get Austin Smith an opportunity, throw a few,
Yeah.
get CP out of there before, because he took I think me and you both talked about it, and he took some pretty good shots there towards the end of the game. So it's kind of like, all right,
Well, he
let's get
took a
him out of
shot
there.
on that interception. I think
Yeah.
me and you both, like, that wasn't really his fault. He got hit when he was throwing it and it just kind of lobbed up in the air. And
Yeah.
me and you both thought, like, that should have been it, probably. Just
Yeah.
it looked kind of bad.
Yeah. So, but like you said, and I think like we said last week, you'll take any win you can get them, and we'll take it 7-4 now. So, and moving on to the final game of the year.
Yeah, I mean, you're not gonna complain too much. I mean, at the end of the day, you got a double digit win, and it's, you needed to win, you needed to. Style points probably would be nice for the committee, but you have a chance to do that next week, and that's gonna be, we'll go ahead and talk about that. So, you're 7-4, and then you have Tarleton coming up to end the season, who's only lost one game all season, and it's at Tarleton. We know our road struggles. We know how that's been. We're not going to get into prediction. We'll do that later this week. But what do you think, just off right now, do you think we have to win to make the playoff?
I mean, I think if you win, obviously, I think that solidifies a
So you think we're a
spot.
lock if we beat Tarleton?
I think so.
I do too.
I think so. I think if you lose, but you lose, I say respectfully, and when I say respectfully, maybe a touchdown, 10 points, two scores. Because right now, I think Craig Haley had us as a in a going to UC Davis. And then the winner playing North Dakota State.
Somebody else had us going to Mercer. So, like, there's a couple different people who have us in the playoffs still.
Yeah, I didn't see the one with Mercer. Obviously, I would prefer that. That's at least a driving, within driving distance. UC Davis, not so much. I mean, as of today, that's, a couple riders do have us in the playoffs. So, and as we've seen in years past, if you get an FBS win, regardless of where that FBS school lies or where they are within their season, I mean, it's they do take that as a, credit to you.
Yeah, they really like the win over a FBS team.
Yeah.
It would have been nice if Middle Tennessee could have had a more respectable season.
Yeah.
They haven't even have won a game. They've won one game.
Yeah.
But I think if you win next week, you're definitely in the playoff. If you keep it, like you said, close, if you keep it within like 10, I think you're in like first four out territory.
Yeah.
Which is disappointing because, I mean, you just beat EKU and you know, none of this matters.
Yeah.
I mean, if you beat EKU, then you're probably in no matter what happens this week.
Yeah.
But, you know, at the end of the day, it's still a successful season. I mean, you had Chris Parson had one of the best, if not the best, quarterback seasons ever for Austin Peay quarterback. You had the first FBS win in 30 something years. You had the first time you've been undefeated at home in 60 years. I mean, there's still a lot to be 70 years. There's still a lot to be proud of, but it's going to be disappointing if you miss out, you know, by the skin of your teeth because of that.
Yeah. I mean, I know a lot of, you know, if they don't make the playoffs, I mean, I know a lot of fans and are going to be disappointed in that, you know, with, especially, you know, with how the season's gone, like you said, with the win over MTSU. But like you also said, I mean, that's something that hadn't been done in a long time. You know, you set all kinds of records and, but yeah, that'll probably be the thing that hangs over the head over this season if they can't make the playoffs. So,
well,
hopefully it's a mute point and we do make the playoffs.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. But let me just say this: I think, well, I know a lot of players listen, but I think it finally kind of went to heart because. Did you see how many penalties we had this week? Four. It's got to be the lowest of the season.
Yeah.
24 yards of penalties. Let's have a round of applause real quick.
Yeah. Absolutely. Absolutely.
24 yards of penalties, guys. Great job. Great freaking job. Thank you. Yeah. Finally. I mean, four penalties for 24 yards. You'll take that all freaking day. Kept our composure, played smart. You know, they knew they had to get out there and get the win. They did what they had to do. No complaints from me. I mean, yes, you'd like it to be a bigger margin, but you won. You didn't play sloppy like you have been. You didn't get penalized out the wazoo. So great. Really happy to see that. Let's keep it going into next week because you can't get penalized against Tarleton on the road.
Yeah, I thought that was something I heard. I couldn't remember how many it was, but I knew it wasn't very many. So that's, yeah.
It was one in the first half, and like the last three were in the fourth quarter. So yeah. Amazing. Yeah. That's what we've been asking for all year. It's, you know, control the time of possession. Don't give the ball away on stupid penalties. It's just great. And even the turnover, like I said, I'm not blaming that on Parson. He got hit, kind of a weird play. Nothing really to complain about. Just take care of business next week.
Yeah, props to the coaching staff on getting, you know, being able to handle, you know, all the, you know, the flags and the penalties. That was very good to see yesterday. So. Yeah, props. Gotta give props to the coaching staff on that.
All right. Well, anything else on? Oh, I also want to shout out Kyle King and Ryan of Q108. Thanks for having me on the Big Gov pregame show. That was a blast. Had a lot of fun doing that. Those guys do a great job. Even before I did Gov Talk, I like to listen to them. So. That was really fun to do, and I think we'll probably be doing more stuff with them in the future. So appreciated that. Chris, anything else you want to talk about with football, or do you want to move on?
No, we can move on.
All right. Well, kind of weird at the same time as the football game. You know, yeah. Me and Chris were – Chris had the ESPN Plus pulled up. We were watching basketball too. You had Austin Peay, the men, went to UNC Greensboro, and – came away with a 69-63 victory. Solid win, I think. You know, UNCG's been like a solid mid-major team. They've made the tournament a few times in the last decade. They're not usually terrible. Solid win. Anytime you go on the road and get a win like that, it's going to be impressive. Shout out to my boy Colin Parker. Yep. Do you see his stat line?
One rebound away from a double-double.
Yeah. I think he'll take it. 22 points, 9 rebounds, 5 assists, 1 steal. He shot 2 of 5 from deep, 9 of 16 from the floor, hit both of his free throws. That performance is exciting to me.
Like you said, we were watching it while we were at the football game, and the play-by-play guys were really on him, talking about where he come from and all that. And I actually saw him today at the women's game and congratulate him on that performance. That was by far his best game of the year.
It's really exciting because you know Tate's capable of putting up 20. And I think we've already seen that Zyree is another baller. So now you have a big three forming, not even counting, you have Rashad Marshall, who's an experienced vet, Brookshire, Lax, not even counting those guys. You kind of see a big three forming, and that's really, really exciting.
Yeah. I mean, that's what I love about having these big guys, that are capable of, doing a little bit of everything, as Colin did yesterday. That just opens the floor up for your guards to do more stuff. And, giving Zaire and Anton more opportunities to shoot from beyond, from 3-point line. So, I love it. That's a very good win. UNCG, I don't know that they're as good as they have been, 0-4 in the year, but like you said, you can get a win on the road. And I think the Govs live wire to wire. I don't think they ever trailed.
I mean, two of their losses, are power conference teams.
Yeah. Well, I guess the lead changed 6 times. So, yeah, I guess they didn't lead wire to wire. But still.
They led for most of it.
Yeah, they led for pretty much most of the entire game.
Did you notice that 11 players were used again? This is a deep rotate. Like you were talking last week, most college teams, like Tennessee, for example, last year had an 8-man rotation all year. A lot of teams in D1, they'll have 7, 8, 9 guys max that see the floor. He'll probably shorten it up come conference play, but it's still impressive that, he has 11 or 12 guys that he trusts to be on the court.
Yeah, I mean, every Gov that suited up yesterday saw playing time, whether it was a minute or 32 minutes. I do like that.
Yeah, so there was also the change to the starting lineup where Rashad Marshall started over Morish, who Morish had an efficient game. I mean, he had 10 minutes. He only played 10 minutes, and he got 2 boards and 4 points. Yep. So that's pretty good efficiency off the bench. And then, like we said with Zyree, if Zyree's going to average 11 and 5, if he's going to give you 11 and 5, that's all that's all you can ask for. That's great from a point guard in this league. Brookshire's in a really bad cold streak right now, but yep. It's one of those things he's probably just going to have to shoot his way out of. He shot 7 threes and didn't make a single one. That's not sustainable. I mean, some of these are going to start falling, you have to think.
Yeah, I mean, 1 for 9 from field goal, 0-7, 5 of 6 from free throw line. So we can definitely no concern there. I think he's a good player. He'll get out of it, and it's only game three of the season. He'll figure game four of the season. He'll figure it out. I'm not too concerned with that.
So ended up with Parker, McCubbin, and Collins all had double digits. Parker led with 9 rebounds, and he also led with 5 assists. So Parker just stuffed the stat sheet.
Yep. Him getting 22 points and 9 rebounds, getting close to a double double in game four of the season. Makes me really excited to see what he's going to be able to do, especially during conference. You got to expect at this point, more than a handful of double doubles, maybe.
Yeah. Yeah. That's really impressive to me that, just able to do that against anybody. I think, so we have that win. You're sitting at 3-1, and you're going to the next game is Tuesday at Ole Miss and Oxford. And then Friday is at Tulsa. And then next Tuesday, a week from this Tuesday, you are at or home against Northern Illinois. So, I mean, honestly, like, if I told you before the season, we didn't do like a like game by game record prediction like we did in football because there's so many. But I think if I told you before the season that we our first road trip, we were going to Air Force, Wyoming, UNCG, we were going to go 2-1, I think you would take that.
100%.
Like, that's pretty – I mean, you get a 20-point win over Air Force, tough loss to Wyoming, and then a solid win against UNCG. I mean, no complaints from me.
No, none here either. I mean, and it was just that one little cold streak against Wyoming that kept them from potentially winning that game as well. So, you know, you take that away – you know, you're probably looking at 3-0 on the road. Yep. So, tough one Tuesday, at Ole Miss. But then you go to another game potential, win on the road at Tulsa and then coming back here to Northern Illinois. And yeah, the game I'm kind of interested, not skipping ahead. And this is, you know, almost a month away, is that ETSU game that really became a little bit more intriguing after they come back and beat North Alabama yesterday.
Right.
So, yeah, kind of looking forward to
that. Which is hilarious, by the way.
Yeah, that North Alabama had a 15-point lead. I watched a little bit of that game, and, you know, ETSU was good enough to make the comeback, but I didn't think they'd actually do it, but they did.
So, have you kept up with how it's gone, like in the ASUN for basketball?
I haven't. I can pull it up real quick.
Like you just said, you had North Alabama lose to ETSU on Saturday, and then we'll go through it real quick. Jacksonville beat VMI. They're 2-2. Florida Gulf Coast beat Chattanooga. They're also 2-2. Obviously, Austin Peay won. North Florida beat some NAIA school, so they're 1-2. Wofford beat Bellarmine. Bellarmine's 1-3. ETSU beat North Alabama. North Alabama's 2-2. Queens beat Sacred Heart. They are 2-3. And Lipscomb beat Bryan, so they're 1-3. And then today, on Sunday, Western Carolina beat Stetson, so Stetson's 1-3. And Samford beat Central Arkansas, so Central Arkansas's 1-3. So if you could keep up with that, where Austin Peay has the best record in the ASUN. Early, but still.
Yep, it's early. And, you know, for those not familiar, the ASUN and the Southern are doing what they call an ASUN SoCon Challenge.
Yep.
So, which is pretty cool. I do.
I like that about this. College basketball.
Yep, I do it as well. I know they did it last year. I can't remember if they did it the year before, but I know last year they did it as well, and that's where the Chattanooga and the ETSU games came in. Last year. So this year it's UNC Greensboro and I guess ETSU again. I'm like you. I really like that kind of stuff. You know, mid-major conferences can, you know, coming together and creating some good matchups.
Go ahead.
I was going to say, it kind of reminds me of the, you know, back in the day when they had Bracket Buster.
Mm-hmm. It gives you like an idea of how to tell you, like, how to tell where you're at, you know. It's like a good litmus test.
Yep. So, but do enjoy it. So, yeah, it was pretty fun because I did watch a few games yesterday when I got home.
All right. So, like we said, 3-1 heading into Ole Miss. So, it'd be nice to see a competitive game there. I think it will be. I don't think we'll get blown out of the water. And then let's go move on to the women. So, the women took on, they're 2-1. They, you know, last week, I can't remember if we talked, I think we did. they had a close loss to Vanderbilt. Very respectable. Yep. You only lose by 10. Vanderbilt has one of, if not the best women's players in the country right now, Michaela Blakes, and you only lose by 10. So that was very impressive. And then you stayed at home this weekend and you get to take on Indiana State. And you come away with a 4-point win to improve to 2-1. And then we'll go look at the stats real quick. So the Govs had 5 players in double digits. Incredibly efficient team performance. Shields, Branton, Perkins, Williams, and Charlton all finished in double digits. Charlton led the way with 15 points. And then also had 4 rebounds and 4 assists. So that was like just a solid team effort. That's the thing that's impressed me so far is there's not like a star player on this team. There are 4 or 5 really solid role players though. And they play really well as a team. They play complimentary ball.
Yeah, I agree. They had, I think they struggled a little bit from 3-point range, but they hit two back-to-back huge threes down the stretch to kind of separate.
Yeah, Perkins hit a big one to end the half. And then I think, 27% from three.
Yeah, I mean, I think you'd like to see that a little better. But, I mean, like
they
I said.
They did shoot 50% from the field, though.
Yeah. So a lot of points inside the paint there. Let's see, I'm trying to find. Yeah, 38 points in the paint to Indiana State's 30. Two big threes there towards down the end of the stretch. Third quarter, again, was what got Sycamores back into the game. So, that's 2 games in a row. Had some third quarter woes, but. You know, like we said about the men, it's early. They'll get, they'll find their way to get through that. It was good win. Before you go on the road and go somewhere where not a lot of teams come out of there with a win in Chattanooga, so that'll be a tough game for them on Thursday.
How's Chattanooga doing this year?
I'm pulling that game up here. My iPad will. Cooperate with me, I'll tell you.
I got it for you.
Yeah.
So Chattanooga's the women are 2-3 so far, but their losses are to Florida, Troy. Well, why does it say that? Oh, UAB. So.
Yeah, that's always historically it's always been a tough place to play, men or women. That'll be a tough game, but hopefully they can come away with a win.
Let's go. Yeah, that's a good litmus test for them too, you know. Because, like you said, it's a matchup that you've historically struggled with. So if you can go down there and pull out a big win, that'd be impressive. After that, they play next Sunday. They play at Southern Illinois, which will be tough as well. They actually have three road games in a row. So at Chat, at Southern Illinois, at Kansas City. So the men play Kansas City too. That's interesting.
Yeah, and then. Go ahead. No, you're good.
They'll be back at FNM Bank December 6th against that school from Callaway County.
Yeah, and then back on the road for three more road games. So
yeah, that's a brutal little stretch.
6 of their next 7 on the road. That's that's a tough stretch.
We'll see what they're made of, though. They've impressed me so far.
Yeah, absolutely. Like you said earlier, only losing 10 to Vandy. I mean, that's a respectable loss if there is such a thing. So then they get the win today. Indiana State had just come from Bowling Green and getting a win at Western on Friday. So I think Western's usually a pretty good has a pretty good women's program.
They
So
do, but they've really struggled so far. It's weird.
yeah. So yeah, that was a good win. Good win for the Govs today.
Also, I wanted to point out, I know it's early, like it'll fluctuate, but Anovia Shields has really stepped up from last year. She's leading the team with 17 points per game. And last year, nobody averaged more than 12. So definitely makes a difference.
Yeah, I don't know if she's done, if coach has done something, with the, they're scoring a lot more points than they have in the last 2 years. So that's something that's intriguing.
I know before the season, you weren't really shy about their slow pace of play and
Yeah.
like that old grit and grind style they try to do, but it hasn't really been that way so far.
No, the last couple of years, I'll be honest, it was a little hard to watch for me, but to each their own. I've liked what I've seen so far this year. Scoring, getting in the, high 60s and 70s. So, yeah, liked what I've seen so far. So hopefully they can keep that up.
Yeah, for sure. The ball movement's been good. The spacing's been good. That's actually like they've been fun to watch so far.
Yeah.
And then the volleyball team ended on a high note, knocked off West Georgia in Carrollton. So, not exactly a banner year for the volleyball team, but pretty nice to end on a conference win, at least.
Yeah, I think it's a work in progress, I think, for that program. But yeah, like you said, it's good for them to end the season on a high note. And that was their final match of the year. ASUN tournament starts this week, and unfortunately, they take the top eight. So
Well, they did improve over last year, if there's any
absolutely.
consolation.
Well, they did get those two big road wins back to back.
Yeah.
Against who ended up winning the regular season, Florida Gulf Coast, and I think the other one was at Stetson, and
It was.
those are both tournament teams. So
Stetson and FGCU, yeah. And then they also beat Tennessee State, which is cool.
yeah.
And
Well,
they beat the team from Callaway County too at the beginning of the
yeah.
year.
And I apologize. I said Stetson was a tournament team. They're not a tournament team, but still, over regardless, that's a step in the right direction, I think.
Yeah.
So, yeah, good for them to end the season on a high note, and they'll work on recruiting and getting better for next season.
Absolutely. All right. Okay, there's that. All right. Well, we've got some good stuff coming up this week. Like we said, we've got the Ole Miss game, you got the Chattanooga game, you've got the Tarleton game, which all eyes are probably going to be on that because that's going to have repercussions. And after the Tarleton game, sometime, well, it depends on if we go to the playoffs or not, but once our season's done, we'll do like a recap of the season. We'll do like a autopsy of the season, kind of our predictions for the off season, what we think is going to happen, go from there, but
Yeah.
obviously there's still a lot to still be decided though. So
Yeah, by this time next Sunday, I think we'll know whether the Govs are done for the season or moving on.
either way, I'm going to put you on the spot. Say you finish 7-5, don't make the playoffs. Say you lose by 20 next week. Do you still consider it a successful season?
Man, that's a tough one. Man, I don't. 7 wins with an FBS win any other year, I would say absolutely. But I think the disappointment is still going to sit in not making the playoffs, because this team, I think, is capable of winning a game or two in the playoffs or making some noise, So,
Yep.
man, I yeah, that's putting me on the spot. I'd be a
I'll
little,
answer for you. I'll answer
I'd
for
be a little disappointed. Not gonna lie, I would be a little
you.
disappointed.
I think it has to be like an unfinished grade, I guess you could say,
Yeah.
like a C, because you had a couple just incredible things, like the Chris Parsons season, winning, beating an FBS team. I'm never going to forget this season.
Right.
But that also makes it hurt worse because, So, you know, you give and you take. But I will say this, because I had somebody ask me this off air and I wanted to address it on air. I do think Jeff Ferris is the coach for the job.
Yeah.
100%.
Yeah.
I have no doubt about that. And I do think – I had somebody ask me this too. I do think Jordan Harmon should get the job too. And I don't care. Don't care what anybody says. Jordan's my guy. I'm going to stick to it. I don't work for the team, but I think, you know, you look at the positive momentum that the athletic department has right now. Why would you want to go away from that? Keep it in-house, in my opinion.
Yeah. Ferris is, you know, obviously a couple of things have, you know, happened this year. You know, we've been all over the staff about the penalties and stuff, but the last two games have, you know, they've been better. But yeah, you know, then the EKU loss, you know, couple questionable decisions that I don't know if you listened to the pregame with Brian Reeves yesterday, or I think it was a Van. I mean, he even called himself out on the fourth down play the week before. So, but yeah, I like what he's done. And we said it over and over, you know, last season, they were in every game, had opportunities in every game with the roster that they had, and losing the amount of guys that they did. And then, you know, just all the excitement throughout this season. I'm riding with Ferris. So yeah, he's done a good job. So, and if they don't make the playoffs this year, then I can only imagine what he's going to do for during the off season recruitment wise and using the transfer portal. So that'll only add some fuel to the fire if they don't happen to make it.
That's the one positive, because you saw how aggressive they were last offseason.
Absolutely.
So you know that's going to light a fire. Ferris is as competitive as it gets. That's in Jordan too. Like, they know they're going to attack it hard if it doesn't go our way. But I just wanted to address that because I've had several people ask me. But yeah, I got nothing else this week. We'll be back later on. Thursday night we'll record the Tarleton preview. That'll be a fun episode.
Yeah, we'll do the Tarleton preview, and then we'll probably know the outcome of the Ole Miss game and can go over that as well.
All right, well, with that being said, let's go, Pete.
Let's go, Pete.
Hey, Govs fans, this is Dr. Kevin Kennedy Jr. If you're like me, you love cheering on Clarksville's hometown team because the Govs mean something special to our Clarksville community. From little Govs to lifelong Govs, our dental teams are here to serve your family for every need, with specialists in kids dentistry at Spring Creek Pediatric Dentistry to our experienced general dentist at Clarksville Dental Center. If you love our community and are looking to support businesses that do as well, we'd be honored to serve you. And hey, if you haven't heard yet, Spring Creek Pediatric Dentistry is the official sponsor of the Junior Govs Club, the premier club for kids to grow into lifelong Govs fans. Let's go, P.